This evening I was thinking, because now is Christmas, and I thought maybe it would be interesting to talk about something that's happening a lot at the moment, and will be happening more in a couple of days on Sunday, is giving, because Christmas, of course, is a time of giving, isn't it? And this is something you probably see a lot of going on Sunday. But at the moment, of course, a lot of buying and getting. And no doubt, I haven't seen this myself, but you probably have. The shops are probably very busy, and people doing their last-minute Christmas shopping, probably even as we speak now, but probably tomorrow as well. But giving is a very important subject. And I mean, often I wonder why we give at Christmas. You know, it's interesting to work out what is happening. Christmas is a celebration, isn't it, of the birthday of Jesus Christ. And so presumably, I think it may have started with the three wise men giving gifts to the new baby, and maybe for the birthday of this baby, Jesus. So maybe that's where we get the convention of Christmas. But of course, from what I gather, Christmas actually, the whole celebration of Christmas has grown over the years, and maybe it wasn't what it started out with, may be quite different from what we've got now, actually. I even read something that Christmas, and this is quite interesting, Christmas, they say that Jesus' birthday was the 6th of January, not 25th of December, but they moved it to the 25th of December because this was a winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere, and this was a time when older religions actually had big celebrations. And so when Christianity took over, it became the dominant religion, it moved the Christmas to that time, so that it was sort of like overriding the past, combining with the past. So it's interesting with giving. It's interesting to contemplate what's so special about giving. What's so special about giving? I think it's good to ask ourselves. And particularly at this time of year, because many people probably get fed up with this whole Christmas business and the busyness of Christmas. And in a sense, you know, the meaning of Christmas being overridden, as it were, by all this busyness and materialism. But in Buddhism, I see giving every day as a Buddhist monk, and same for Buddhist nuns, I see giving every day. Because the monastery where I live and the monastery where the nuns live, every day people bring food to the monastery. And it's quite amazing. They support us by their generosity, by their kindness, by this giving of food. They support us in being able to develop meditation, developing our virtue, we say moral conduct, and also developing wisdom. Because that is the aim, isn't it, of the path of Buddhism, is to develop wisdom. That's what we're here for, actually, is to develop wisdom so that we understand what life is about, that we understand what is real happiness and what isn't real happiness. So giving is actually like the foundation for us. And in the West, you know, we have quite a few opportunities to give, don't we? We have ritualistic giving, you know, ritualized giving like Christmas, and we have anniversaries and birthdays, and these are rituals in the sense that you know, they're practiced by many people and in many different ways. And but there's not only those sorts of giving, is there? I mean, I am very heartened sometimes when we have these natural disasters, like I remember in 2004, we had the tsunami which affected Sri Lanka, and in Australia, people in 2005 gave an enormous amount of money per capita for that disaster. And when we have things like this, I mean, you probably can think of other things that have happened more recently. It's really heartening to see people give, you know, and really show their concern and help people. not only through giving money, of course, giving in many other ways. So in the West we have these sorts of opportunities. But one of the things I noticed, maybe you notice this too, do we really appreciate giving? You know, do we really appreciate giving? Quite often I think people, they almost play it down, don't they? You know, they don't make a big deal of it. Maybe because they think, you know, this is, they get conceited. And so in the West, I think too often we play down giving. We don't see the importance in giving. You know, we assume, well, you know, anybody would do what we've done. Anybody would give in this situation. But in Buddhism, we actually go the other way, and we really encourage people to make much of giving, actually, to really see that this is an important part of the spiritual path of development. And why is giving such an important spiritual practice, you could say? Why is that? For me, it is when I give, I feel an openness, an opening up to somebody else, to some situation. And I feel that is where, why perhaps the Buddha, in his wisdom, really encouraged us in dana. We call it dana. This is giving, the Pali word dana. Because here we're really opening up to other people. But the focus is always on how we give, you know, because giving, we're giving to another person for sure. And in the West, quite often, isn't it, when we give, I don't know about you, but I know at Christmas many people spend hours racking their brains what to give, you know, they're looking for the perfect gift for somebody. And they're more concerned about the gift, often, than the actual act of giving and the intention, the inspiration of giving, the positive emotion of giving. So the way we give is very important to experience the benefits of giving, very important. I'll speak a little bit about that in a minute. In Buddhism, often we say that giving is the cornerstone of Buddhism. If there was no giving, no dana, then there would not be, for instance, a centre like this. The centre here is built from donations from many people, many different people. And the monasteries, the monks' monastery and the nuns' monastery, Jhana Grove, the meditation centre, all built from donations. And when you look around this building, you can just, it's amazing when you think that this was all built by from the donations of many, many people. So this is a very basic level of giving, isn't it? Very important, otherwise we don't have facilities. But for monks and nuns, as I mentioned to you, we experience giving every day when in our lives because we rely on the lay community to feed and clothe and house and give medicines for the monks and nuns. In Sri Lanka, where I live, for instance, I go on alms round every day to the village. I live in a, we call it a cave, but it's more like a rock overhang, on my own and in the forest on a sort of a mountain. Very beautiful place, looking over the plain below with rice fields and mountains in the distance. But every day I go down in the morning, probably about 6 o'clock, depending on the light, and then go to the village and go for alms round, usually to, the way I do it, to 4 houses. And those 4 houses, people offer food, and then I come back to my hut on the mountain in this cave and have the food for the day, have a, like a breakfast, I suppose you say, and then later have a little bit of lunch. But every day I go to these houses, different houses, 4 different houses every 2 days, actually. And I'm always impressed with, you know, the generosity, the kindness. Sometimes, you know, when I live in that village, I mean, I see all various levels of giving. I see people who give with an incredible amount of joy and happiness. And, you know, their eyes almost twinkle with this sort of happiness to give. And then I see people that are giving with... They're quite happy to give, but it's nothing special, I think. And then I see some people who give, it's very matter of fact. So this is, I mean, this is the nature of life, isn't it? All the different levels of as it were, commitment or faith, you might say, in Buddhism. But when I go on this alms round and the people have a lot of joy and happiness, for me, that is almost... It doesn't matter what the food is like. That is almost like food in itself, mental food. That joy and happiness is quite contagious. And the fact that I depend on these people and these people support me really encourages me in my practice. So the way the Buddha set this up was quite extraordinary, that he gives the opportunity for people to give every day. And what a great way to begin the day, actually, just by giving. Not because when we give, isn't it, we're not thinking of ourselves, we're thinking of somebody else. And we're giving, we can give with many different states of mind, of course, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. So this is a very traditional aspect of giving in Buddhism, you know, supporting the monks and supporting the nuns. And were that a one-way street, as it were, that wouldn't be enough, I don't think. And then the Buddha said that actually the monks, and then for the monks, he said that the lay people are very helpful. They support you with robes, they support you with food, they support you with lodgings and medicine. And he said, and the monks and the nuns, you support the lay community with teaching, with help, with guidance. And it's like a mutual relationship. It's not a one-way street. So in Sri Lanka, for instance, you see many different types of monks, actually. It's quite interesting. Here in Australia, we only see mainly monks living in the city and monks living in the forest. But in Sri Lanka, you see many different types. And in the villages, the village monks, they do a lot of work, actually, for the lay people. And they do many ceremonies and, you know, especially when there is births or deaths, those sorts of things, and also merit-making ceremonies. So they do quite a lot. And the forest monks usually, as some of the people there say, they are doing, what do they call it, silent service, because we are usually meditating and practicing the Buddhist teachings as well as we can, and to develop insight and to develop, aiming to develop stages of enlightenment. So this is different types of monks and nuns in Sri Lanka. But what I wanted to particularly talk about, and I think it's very important for us at Christmas time, is the way we give, isn't it? That's really important. And I'm always very impressed with the Buddha, because the Buddha was very practical. You know, he wasn't like an idealist trying to paint a very rosy picture and just set up an ideal that we could admire. He actually pointed out the reality of where people are at, and he said there were lots of very different reasons why people give. You know, and some of them, for instance, are really good, actually, and you'll probably relate to them here and now as they were 2,600 years ago. It shows people haven't changed too much, really. He said sometimes people give out of fear, or he said sometimes they give because another person, somebody's given with the thought, this person has given something to me, so I must give to them. This is familiar. Or, he said, sometimes people give thinking, this person will be giving me a present, so I should give them something. And this is very familiar too for Christmas, because many people, don't they? They think, well, we've got to reciprocate, and that's quite a strong thing. But he said also, you know, some people will think, well, I will give because, you know, my grandparents, my father, my grandparents gave. It's a tradition, we should give, so, you know, I will give. And some people might think, well, giving is good, and that's a reason for their giving. And some of the other reasons that he mentioned too is, in Asia particularly, people might think, I will give so that I can have a good rebirth in the future, maybe in a heavenly existence. or as a human being, a very good human existence. Or, he said, some people just give, and this is interesting, because they know when they give, they get happiness and joy, and that's very, very pleasant to experience. And he said, and this is the highest one, the last one that he spoke of, was some people give because it ennobles and adorns the mind, so it makes the mind very beautiful. And that was sort of the highest form of giving, in a way, because it just makes the mind beautiful when we really give wholeheartedly. And I know from my experience in Sri Lanka and in Thailand, I've seen some people who give just so beautifully, you know. They're just like give with very shining eyes and with a lot of happiness and joy. And when that happens, you know, it just it affects me too. I just come alive with that too. It's like food for the mind, actually. Not food for the stomach, but food for the mind. So that is the highest form of giving, and one of the reasons, the highest forms of, one of the highest reasons for giving. But the most important thing about giving, and it's good to keep in mind at Christmas time, is our intention. What is the state of mind we're giving with? Are we giving with a state of mind of concern about what the other person might think, or, you know, that we're giving them the right sort of gift, or, you know, which is sort of fear, really, isn't it? So we have to look at the state of mind that we're giving with. And to encourage a positive state of mind before we give, when we give, and after we give. Because the intention, the Buddha said that action or karma is intention. That's what he declared. So it's the quality of our mind that is the important thing. And of course we have that cliche, don't we? That it's not the gift that's important, it's the mind we do it with. It's the thought behind it. That's what we usually say, thought behind it. So this is a very important thing to bear in mind. To give, if we can possibly, give with like a joy, a happiness, a freshness, giving to that person. And we give from ourselves. We don't. If we're always thinking of the other person, actually, I think, you know, then we may miss paying attention to how we're feeling and giving with a freshness, with an enthusiasm, with an interest. You can't manufacture that. But if you practice, if you see you're giving, you want to give with some sort of feeling of joy, with a feeling of happiness. This makes the giving much more interesting for us and much less of a ritual. Because there's nothing wrong with rituals. I mean, you know, Christmas is a ritual, anniversary is a ritual, birthday is a ritual. Going on alms round in Sri Lanka, in Asia, in Buddhist culture, that's a ritual too. But we can bring these rituals to life by our intention, by our interest, by seeing value in them. Because many people don't see value in giving, they don't realise that this is actually a very important thing in our spiritual development. They don't give enough attention to how they're giving, to give with this sort of like enthusiasm, with interest. In fact, the Buddha said in one of his teachings, he said to the monks, he said, if people knew as I know the results of giving and sharing, he said, they would not eat without giving. In fact, he said, if it was their last morsel of food, they would still share, would still give to another person. But he said, people do not know the benefits, the results of giving and sharing, so they don't do this very often, don't do it with that sort of mind state. So it's very important for us. When the Buddha said that, he was obviously emphasising the importance of giving and sharing, because it just opens up the mind and reduces that tendency in the mind to be stingy, to hold back, to think of ourselves, and to, as it were, isolate ourselves. So very important is the intention of giving. But the Buddha also said, not only is that important, he said another aspect that's very important is that when we give, he said that a gift is purified either by the giver or the receiver, by both or by neither. So what he's saying there is that if we are good people, if we've got good, we have virtuous and we have good character, then when we give, that gift will have be a great benefit. Or if the person we give to is virtuous, of good character, then it will be also of great benefit. If both are, tremendous, that's really good. But if neither are, then of course reduces the benefit from that gift. So that's a very interesting sort of thing to see. So from our point of view, you know, if we're giving, if we can give from a very good heart, from a virtuous heart, then that gift will be even more beneficial to the other person, to us as well. And how is it beneficial to us? Because it's a good karma, we say good karma, then that will come back to us. You know, as we say, what goes around, what comes around goes around, what goes around comes around. Yeah, that's it. And so as you reap, as you sow, so shall you reap, that sort of idea. So very important when we give, to give from a very good place, from as much virtue as we can possibly give. And it's very important too with this giving. So giving intention is very important, and also the state of our virtue, our good character is also important, as is the quality of the person we give to is good too. In Asia particularly, that's why I often give to people like to give to monks, to nuns, because usually their virtue is good and they see that as being of great benefit. The Buddha said that any form of giving is good, actually. And he said in one of his teachings, the exposition on giving, he said that even if you give to an animal, he said, that it will be repaid 100 times. He said if you give to somebody who's not particularly virtuous, an immoral person, he said that will be repaid 1,000 times, whatever you've given. And he said if you give to a virtuous person, whether they're Buddhist or not, and that will be, that repays that person, the giver, 100,000 times. And he said if you give to an enlightened person, any of the stages of enlightenment, or even to a Buddha, then the result is immeasurable, incalculable. But he said the highest form of giving is to give to a community of monks or nuns. And that is the highest form, because there could be enlightened people in that community, but it's also potential for the future too, for these people to become enlightened and to benefit the community. So all giving is of benefit, no matter to whom, and particularly if it's coming from a good heart, from our good heart. And you know, often in the West we're more interested in the recipient, aren't we? We always think, we're concerned about, is this appropriate for the person we're giving it to? We're focusing on the gift and the receiver. Whereas we should be really focusing on the state of mind that we have. And that is the really where the spiritual aspect of giving comes in, isn't it? You know, because if we're giving with a very good heart, with a very pure heart, we will receive the benefits, and we will develop and reduce qualities in ourselves like self-concern. Selfishness is definitely reduced when we give and when we show concern for others. So these are like important things the Buddha emphasized. And also, when we give, before we give, if we have a good state of mind, that's great. When we give, to maintain that good state of mind, good, and then afterwards, good. That good state of mind still there. Because sometimes, isn't it, people, they may give, but then later they regret it. They think, oh, I shouldn't have given that. And that really, you know, sort of brings down the whole the whole value of that exercise, of that giving, actually. And you hear stories in the commentaries, in the Buddhist commentaries, you know, where somebody has, for instance, given to a Buddha, and then later they've regretted it. They thought, I shouldn't have given this. I should have saved it for myself or my family or whatever. And there was one case where a man had done this, and then when he was reborn, he was very, very, very wealthy, had enormous wealth, but he could never enjoy it. He wore rags. He drove around in a ramshackle cart. He had very poor food because he'd regretted giving. But he'd given, so he got the results of that. But then because he regretted giving, he couldn't enjoy it. So this is in a way very true for all of us, actually. You know, if we regret, it really robs us of the value of giving, and you know, is going in a completely different direction. But also with giving, I think very important for us to focus on the fact that giving is not just a material thing, isn't it? It's not just a ritualized thing too. Because when we, obviously at Christmas, mostly giving gifts, isn't it? Yeah. But we can give other things, and we do. You know, we do give attention, we give friendship, we can give advice, we can share with people, be there for people, show concern for people, thoughtfulness for people. Many things we can do in this society that we live in the West. Giving time to people is actually one of the biggest gifts, I think, because mostly people don't have time, do they? We have this stress about not having enough time. So when we give time to people, give attention to people, that is something that is quite valuable, very valuable, actually. And that sort of giving is not ritualized, is it? It's the sort of giving that arises quite naturally in the moment. And this is where we're developing ourselves as well, you know, this heart, this good heart, this heart that cares. It's got a lot of caring in it, metta, which they loving kindness. Maybe there is compassion in our hearts, and sometimes joy just with other people's, you know, success, with other people's good qualities. We can really we can give. So many things that we give are not material things. You know, I mentioned already that we give material things for sustaining life and so on. But even when we practice in terms of Buddhism, we're giving too, actually, because, you know, when we practice virtue, in Buddhism we have the five precepts, and the five precepts, the first one is to avoid intentionally killing other beings. It's also like harming other beings. And the second one is to avoid taking what's not given. It's like stealing. The third one is to avoid sexual misconduct. And the fourth one is to avoid lying. And the fifth one is to avoid alcohol and intoxicants, which are a basis for negligence, we say, you know, negligence. So these things, I mean, they sound like negatives, but they're actually something we give to other people. And the Buddha said, when we practice these things, we actually give immeasurable freedom for other beings from fear, from hostility and oppression. He said those three things. And you can easily see why that is the case. Because when we do not kill other beings intentionally, then we're giving them the gift of harmlessness. They don't have to worry that they're going to be killed or harmed by us. Their fear is reduced. And when we don't steal, and we avoid that, then they can have like a gift of honesty and trust. And when people avoid sexual misconduct, we say like adultery, then we're giving faithfulness. We're giving them the gift of faithfulness and trust. And you see that with relationships. If there's no trust there, then the relationships is kaput, is finished. So that's a very important one. It's actually very important for the whole society. Actually, a lot of we run on trust. And also with speech, you know, when we give, when we avoid telling lies, we're giving truthfulness, we're giving honesty to other people. And they can rely then on what we say is actually the case for us. And of course, the last one, when we avoid alcohol and intoxicants, we're giving a real gift of just clear-mindedness. We're really mindful. We are. We know what's going on. And that is quite a gift to other people too, because most often the big problems come when we aren't, when we, you know, and the mind is clouded with drugs or alcohol. Then all manner of things happen, don't they? Domestic violence and traffic accidents and all manner of things stem from that. So these, you know, you may think that, you know, people often think five precepts, no big deal. But I say, if the world lived by five precepts, it would be like heaven. it would be amazing. And we'd have this immeasurable freedom from fear, freedom from hostility, and freedom from oppression. And that's really, that is something amazing to offer to beings, actually. You know, and I always feel like when I live in the forest, I really like if animals are not afraid of me. Because you see most animals, when they see human beings, they run a mile. And I think, you know, with good reason, actually, good reason. But if I see that they're not afraid, then I'm very pleased. I'm very happy, actually. Even the more troublesome animals like monkeys, which we have in Sri Lanka in abundance. But if they're not afraid, I'm quite happy, actually. I think as a Buddhist monk, I feel like if animals don't feel afraid of me, people don't feel afraid of me, great. Then I've achieved something, you know, that there's a degree of peacefulness from the way I behave and relate to other beings that they can pick up. Because you really do pick up these things. Even though they're immaterial things, we'd say, you know, they're not material. Animals and people pick up on these sorts of intentions, you know, these friendly intentions coming from loving kindness. They can pick up on those. And not only, you know, do we give gifts by practicing the five precepts, encourage everybody to practice the five precepts, but when we meditate, we give a gift to ourselves and other people. Because when we meditate, you see this actually, you know, the mind becomes so much more peaceful and so much more balanced. Most of the problems we experience in our relationships come from when the mind is really agitated, it's really pulled around by either negativity or like greed, wanting something. And then, you know, we can do and say things that we regret later. But with meditation, it's really interesting. I think you probably have seen it this evening. You get a perspective on what's going on in the mind, and you can stand back a bit. And so we're not immediately reacting. We're not immediately saying things that later we think, wow, why did I say that? Why did I do that? So with meditation, it's giving us that ability to just stand back a bit and to develop peacefulness in the mind and to develop wisdom in the mind. So meditation is a gift we give not only to ourselves but to others. And you've probably heard Ajahn Brahm speak on many occasions of people that have said to him, you know, I remember him talking about a woman who used to go to the Armidale group, and evidently her children said to her that she was much, much nicer after she'd been to the meditation. So they always liked her to go to the meditation. So, and I think we feel that too, you know, you feel the benefit yourself, you know, you really do. The mind much more balanced, much more peaceful, much more wise. So meditation is a great benefit, not only to ourselves, to others as well. And with meditation too, when we give, we can actually use that in meditation, can't we? You know, we can, if you reflect on giving, if you see what joy it gives to, happiness it gives to ourselves and to others, that can actually be a useful thing to develop, in Buddhism you say you develop gladness and then you can develop joy and then you can develop tranquility, happiness, and then concentration. This is a sequence that the Buddha often gave. When we contemplate our generosity, things that we've done, you know, that were good for ourselves and good for others. So we can use giving in our meditation. And in a way, I was trying to do that a little bit in the meditation this evening. You know, like we're giving ourselves a gift by just being here, sitting here together. And that's real gift, actually, that we all give to each other. Because somehow, as I've said to other people today, when we meditate together, there's a special energy that you get from meditating in a group that you don't get on your own. It's good to meditate on your own, for sure, because you can't always have such a large group of people. But there's special energy when you meditate together. So meditation is a very important gift we can give to others and to ourselves. But the Buddha said that the gift of Dhamma, the gift of the teachings of Buddhism, is the highest gift. Why is that? Why is that? Often I ask myself, but I ask you too, why would that be the case? And the answer I have for that is because when we have, you know, a teaching like Buddhism, a spiritual teaching that we investigate, we try to practice, then it colours the whole way we view the world, the whole way we relate to people, and it actually is like the blueprint for the way we live. So it's very, very important, the sorts of views that we take on board. And the Buddha always said we should always examine those views, you know, always examine the assumptions that we're running our lives on. Because these views are actually the way they are determining the way we act, determining the way we speak and the way we think. So it's very good. And the spiritual teaching like Buddhism can have an enormous benefit to people who are practicing it, who are studying it, who are using it. And for me, that's one of the great, great things. I have much gratitude for the gifts that I have received from Ajahn Brahm, from many of my teachers, Ayakema, Ajahn Jagaro. I feel very blessed that they gave me so much that was useful that I could use in my life. Because Buddhism's not only a philosophy. I mean, people can take it as a philosophy, can't they? And they do. And it's a very interesting philosophy, very satisfying, actually, when you go into it. It really comes together. But the important thing with Buddhism is to actually practice it and find out for ourselves, you know, does this really work? Is this really true? Because Buddhism doesn't encourage the blind belief. It encourages us to investigate, find out for ourselves. And the big determinant, the big way we know, the most clear way we know that is if it works for us, if we can really see it operating. So Buddhism is about our experience here and now. So that is a very important part of why the gift of the Dhamma is the highest, is the best gift, the gift that excels all other gifts. Because it gives us a way of living that shapes our life and informs our life. And you see that, you know, in Buddhist countries. This is one of the nice things of living in a Buddhist country. You know, for instance, I was talking about giving, but in a Buddhist country, you see, giving is really part of the culture. It's really part of the culture. And you might say that's just ritual, but it's more than that. It becomes so ingrained in people that it becomes so natural, and it's really something that you can, it inspires one, actually. It inspires one a great deal. So that, the teachings of Buddhism, very important gift. But the wisdom that comes from practicing that teaching is also a very important gift. Like Ajahn Brahm is giving us teachings of the Buddha, for sure, but he's giving also the wisdom and his own experience, isn't he? and many other teachers, many Kalyana Mittas too, our friends in the Dhamma, you know, friends, spiritual friends. They give to us, they support, give us a lot, they give us support, and we can also take them as confidence. We can talk to them about our problems and can receive helpful suggestions. So this is another important sort of gift that we get, non-material gift. And I think these non-material gifts that are the most important thing, really. The material gifts are obviously important for sustaining life, but these non-material gifts are what help the heart grow and what help develop the spiritual life. So, and as I said earlier, the Buddha encouraged us to give, but to think when we give, to be aware of our intention, and just come back to that, and to give with a very wholesome intention, with a bit of, with joy, enthusiasm, interest, seeing the value in giving. And this is more difficult with Christmas because we're doing a lot of it and it's very ritualized. But to actually bring it to life, then we're actually getting value out of giving as a spiritual exercise. But also to give with a pure heart, a good heart, and to give to good people is very good too. So, and not to regret what we give, to have that intention all the way through the process. So I think this evening I'll probably finish here with talking about giving and Christmas, and encourage all of us, myself included, to think about giving. You know, because it's such a Christmas time, I think many of us don't necessarily think about giving, the important side of giving, why we're giving, you know, how we're giving, you know, and not thinking of it as a spiritual exercise, you know, as a spiritual, a means of developing ourselves. And the Buddha, of course, he taught, first of all, dana, this is giving, then sila, the way we interact with the world, our moral conduct, and then bhavana, meditation. So they're all very important. But it began with dana. So, and dana is that opening up not only to other people but to ourselves, and the awakening of our hearts, you know, with a very positive energy. So I think I would like to finish there. And if there are any questions, people are welcome to ask questions or make comments about giving. Because I think, you know, for me, when we talk about Dhamma like this, when I'm talking like this, I like to encourage us to think, to really investigate, to ask questions of ourselves and others. Because that's the important thing is, as far as I see this more and more actually as I go along as a Buddhist monk, the questions are probably more important than the answers. If you don't have the questions, the answers will never come. So the questioning is very, very important, you know, really looking at things, not taking things for granted, not assuming, you know, just not looking into things deeply. You know, this is very important for us all, I think, to really, you know, investigate and ask questions. So with that comment, if anybody has any comments about Christmas, giving, the importance of giving, please feel free to speak now. Oh, yeah, good. Comment.
During this time, I think the temple collects money for Bangladesh orphanage.
Yes.
And so my wife collected some money for friends, relatives. And this morning, this evening when I was meditating, I contemplated about that, and I got into very good meditation.
Ah, that's very good. That's very good. This gentleman was saying that his wife and family collected some money for the Bangladesh orphanage, which is an appeal that's ongoing at the moment. We do every year, I think, here. And that when he was meditating, he contemplated that, and that gave him a lot of happiness and helped the meditation. This is exactly what I was saying with, when we contemplate our generosity, our kindness, our gifts, whether material or immaterial, that it can be a very good support for the meditation and also a good antidote for just thinking of giving as nothing special. Because in the West, I think we downplay it quite a bit, and in actual fact, we should make more of it for ourselves, not to other people. We don't have to tell other people we've given for this and given for that. But if we know it in ourselves, then we can use it for our own, for our meditation. And you've probably heard many times, Ajahn Brahm, actually, this is one of his major practices, that he gets a lot of happiness from what he gives. And it's mainly non-material giving, isn't it? His talks and his meditation retreats, his advice, his giving time to listen to people, to their problems, many different types of giving that he gives. And he always says to us as monks, this is important. This is actually what fuels my practice, the happiness from this giving, seeing the value in it, that actually helps his meditation, and supports it. And it reminds me of what the Buddha said one time. He said, monks, do not be afraid of punya, of making merit. This is like one form of making merit is giving. So the Buddha was saying we shouldn't be afraid to give, and to make much of it for our own spiritual practice, not for our egos or anything like that. That's not the purpose of it. So thank you for that comment. That's good. Yeah, that's a skillful way of using the meditation. So that's good.
Isn't giving also a practice of letting go?
It is indeed, yes. Very good point. A gentleman just said, isn't giving a practice of letting go? And of course it is. We're letting go of perhaps what we'd want to do and giving to another person. And sometimes that can be inconvenient and difficult, but if we do it wholeheartedly, it can be very valuable. And I know from some of the people that I've met, some monks that I've met, I've been impressed how, somebody will come who needs something, they drop everything. They might be very busy, drop everything and just do that, be with that person, help with whatever they can give to that person. And that's a really good practice for letting go of that strong sense of what I need, what I want, I've got to get, that sort of selfishness that we all have. So thank you for that. Yes, it is a form of letting go, and yes, very important form, actually. Yeah. Yes.
Talking about giving, receiving.
Good. Exactly, yes. Giving, the gentleman's just saying giving is important, but surely receiving is important too with the right attitude, and very much so. And often I don't know if you've seen it in the West, we may be better at giving than receiving, actually. People often feel, I've seen it myself too, a bit embarrassed or, a bit nonplussed when somebody will give them something, especially if they're not expecting it. So it is very important the way we receive things. And obviously, the ideal way is one of gratitude, and accepting it in a way too, accepting it as something that's given from somebody else's good heart, actually, is very good. Yeah, very important. But receiving is another part of the equation. Which can be difficult for us, and it's interesting. And of course, for Buddhist monks and nuns, we do a lot of receiving. One monk said that Buddhist monks give by taking. So in other words, when we receive, we're actually giving, in a sense, merit and happiness to other people. You see that quite often. But as we're receiving a lot, you have to, in a way, come to terms with that. Sometimes people may feel when they receive that they're not worthy or whatever, but often I see receiving, especially when I receive things, I actually see the quality that the person's giving it with, and that makes me very happy. You know, the gift doesn't matter so much. It's not that important. But if somebody's giving with a really good heart, and that really, that is something wonderful. That's another gift. So thank you for that. Yeah, receiving is important too. Yes, Eddie. Giving of Dhamma, yes.
Highest gift.
Highest gift, yes.
That's for my view, okay? You see, Buddhism is a personally, you know, personal awakening journey.
Yes, yes.
Enlightenment,
right? Yes.
You have to experience it yourself.
Yes.
Okay? And what is enlightenment? Enlightenment is when you reach enlightenment, that's peace, contentment. It reduces your suffering, all right? Yeah. So you are giving a person that peace, you know, showing the person the way, you know.
Yes, that's very good. Eddie was just saying that it's the highest gift because we're giving peace, happiness, contentment, going towards enlightenment, and this is something that's very rare in the world. Many things seem to promise that they're going to give us contentment, happiness, and peace, but they don't. They don't. And oftentimes we're wanting somebody else to do that for us. But in Buddhism, it's always we have to do it. And that path is actually part of the whole process. It's very important. It's the walking the path, which is so important. But it can offer us peace, happiness, and contentment, and really and meaning too. Very important, actually, meaning. So yes, right. Another question.
Apunya,
oh yes.
Which is one is intoxicating liquids, giving up.
Uh-huh.
So there are things that one should not do.
Right, yes.
Like intoxicating, you know, alcohol.
Alcohol, yes.
Also things that sort of makes other people's mind restless. So Buddha has told about that.
Yes. That's good. Jen was just talking about things that which are not good to give, because the Buddha emphasised that when we give, we should give at the right time. We should give something that's appropriate, and we should give with a good state of mind. Oh, alcohol. Oh, yeah. Ah, yeah. Especially if they tried to give it to monks or nuns, which happened to me on the plane here. One of the stewardesses had two bottles of wine. And said, "Oh, you like some?" Thought, oh well. Yeah. Obviously, if we give alcohol, it is encouraging people to develop, to reduce their mindfulness, their clarity, and maybe increase their. The possibility of them doing things that later they regret doing and saying. Yes, it's true. Yeah. Yes, and there's another.
Yeah, the context of the comment, for instance, today, someone I hadn't seen for 2 years gave me a bottle of wine for
yes.
Christmas, which I'm not going to drink, but he gave it with, I guess, a very good intention. I didn't say I'm not going to drink it, but surely in that case there's no sort of bad karma, because he was just giving
wine, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's a good point. You know, somebody who gave a bottle of wine to this gentleman, but gave it with such a good heart, in such a good way, that surely that is in itself a good thing. Yeah, I think that intention is very good. Yeah. Sometimes you feel that, don't you? The gift, sometimes the gift, it doesn't matter really. It's just the way that it's been given, the joy or the kindness that's gone with it. It's more important. Yeah. Yes, and there's somebody at the back. Yeah. That's interesting, isn't it? How should we receive a gift that's given for the wrong reasons? That's interesting. Well, first of all, we have to know if it is really the wrong reason. You know, we might think it's the wrong reason. The Buddha said, actually, that people can also give out of affection, which is very common, isn't it? And they can also give out of anger, which can also happen. Yes, yes, that's very true, yes. And that can be part of the motivation. It's not a good motivation, but giving, as I said, always good. There is a benefit in that, but of course reduced by the mind state that it's done with. Because if we give with a bargaining sense of mind, you know, with this idea we'll get something back, maybe more actually, then that's not much. The giving is reduced. It's not such a good intention, is it? Yeah. So that's why we always, in Buddhism, we always emphasise our intention, not only in giving, but everything we do, just to see what state of mind we are, where we're coming from. Yeah. No, that's a good point. Interesting, yes. Oh, right, yes. Yes.
And the person receiving doesn't appreciate anything.
Yes.
Ah. How should one deal with that?
How should one deal with when you give with an open heart and the person who in love who is receiving it doesn't appreciate it? Of course, it points to the fact that we can't control how others will react. But we can be responsible for ourselves and appreciate the way we've done it. And that is the most important side of it. It's very hard, though, when you give with a really good heart and then the other person doesn't appreciate it at all, or maybe even negative and about it. But what can we do in those cases? You know, we've made good karma, we'd say, by the way we've behaved. But we certainly can't control the way other people will take the gifts that we give them, you know, because that will be due to their own conditioning, the way they see it, and it may be coming from a very confused state of mind, lack of clarity, maybe anger, many different states of mind. But if we are clear about our side of the situation, then that's enough. That's enough. It's very hard, but we just have to be happy with the way we've given, and not, you know, there is a tendency, isn't there? Once somebody reacts negatively, then we want to react negatively, you know. But if we can avoid that, good. You know, just think, well, it's their problem if they can't accept it. And as I said to you, you know, sometimes people are very poor receivers. You know, we can be very bad at receiving things, and it could be part of the picture could be that, you know, they just can't handle receiving something. And yes, it could be something more like that, but to know, yeah. So you've made good karma if you do that, but the other person, well, what to do? Because the Buddha taught us, didn't he, you know, upeka too. We realise that we're responsible for our own actions, and just in the same way, other people are responsible for their actions. And we can't control that, you know, because that's the reason they've behaved the way they have, they've said what they've said, is because of the way they've been thinking, the way they've conditioned, you know, so... It's a very good thing for people who care for other people too to realise that, you know, as much as we want to help other people and we do our real best, you know, we still can't save them, as it were. It's up to them. We can do our part, and we do that with a good heart. But if we want the outcome to be a particular outcome, then we're going to suffer a lot, because it may not happen like that. We may do our best, and then it turns out that the other person can't accept it, cannot use it. And they go in a direction that we wouldn't like to see, but what can you do? Yeah. So then, you know, wisdom tells you, you know, this is that person's karma, this is the way they're conditioned. We do our best.